Wow. Did you see the Seinfeld thing though? The sign, the thread, the Seinfeld thread.
Oh, there we go. Sorry, no more of that conversation. Urch. This is a G-rated podcast.
Beep. Oh, hello everyone. It's Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where sometimes the things we talk about don't make it on the show. We are here to help today, to help make today make sense, but only parts of today. Some parts we're just going to leave.
Some parts are just not family friendly. That was Daniel Ramirez right there, saving us from ourselves, and we do appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
I'm Kai. Yes, we will do what we usually do on a Monday. A little bit of news, a little bit of Make Me Smile, and then we will be gone from your lives for another 24 hours.
Out like trout, as they say.
They do? Who says that?
Yeah. Nobody say
says that?
That. Everybody says it. Where
maybe
I'm from.
Maybe North Dakota. See what I did there?
Out like
I did
trout.
It. How about that? That was pretty
that
good.
That was amazing.
That was pretty
that
good.
That was amazing. I actually watched Fargo over the weekend with my man friend. And it was we started to watch the show, and then I was like, this is a pale imitation.
Yeah,
and so we just went back and watched the original movie, and oh my goodness, it was fantastic. And then for the rest of the weekend, I was unbearable. Unbearable. Oh, yeah, you betcha.
Sure, sure. Okay.
Sure, sure.
All right. Okay, go ahead. What do you got?
All right. As our producers can attest, many links came and went in the rundown today until I finally decided that I'm just going back to a simpler time when the most banana pants thing happening was the spectacular neutron star-like implosion of WeWork.
It was fun to watch. We should say here, sorry, I do need to do the disclaimer. WeWork is actually, they give us money to put their advertisements on the air is basically what it is in 10-second chunks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which is not going to stop me from talking about the sheer banana pantsness of it.
Yeah.
If you missed any of those episodes, you should definitely go back and listen to some of them because they explain the sort of insane collapse. But one of the notable things about the WeWork collapse is that when founder and chief executive Adam Neumann left the company, he got the sweetheartiest deal that ever sweethearted.
Yeah.
They bought $1 billion of stock from him. SoftBank was the primary investor here. And when he left, they bought about $1 billion of stock from him, refinanced his $500 million debt, and agreed to pay him $185 million to consult. So it's like hard to screw up a deal that good unless you're Adam Neumann.
Surprise, surprise.
Now, boo-hoo, this is still going to leave him with like $1.5 billion. But apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal, the $185 million consulting deal that he signed to sort of help the company, I don't know what, recover from literally everything that he inflicted on it, is no longer in place. And speaking at the Wall Street Journal's Tech Live conference held remotely on Monday, Executive Chairman Marcelo Claure said, I think Adam may have violated some of the parts of the consulting agreement so that it's no longer in effect.
How do you screw that up?
I really don't know. I really don't know. But if anybody was going to do it, it's this idiot.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
What's so funny is how hot that company was, and everybody was like, ooh, I'm going away WeWork space, or I want to get in with WeWork. And you're like, how does this make sense?
I know. Yeah. And even at the time, everybody thought it was overvalued. Yeah.
It was.
Yes.
It was.
And when asked whether SoftBank had drawn any lessons from its investment strategy of previous years, Mr. Claure said, we probably were a little too aggressive with WeWork. We probably allowed the entrepreneur, who shall no longer be named apparently, to work too freely without having the right SoftBank involvement. Nobody's saying, by the way, what WeWork's current occupancy rates might be during the pandemic.
Can you imagine? It's something like 10% of all offices in New York City are occupied. So WeWork cannot be higher than that, right? I mean, come on.
I cannot imagine. And I am not trying to be insensitive to all of the old people who went to work at WeWork. But anytime anything even remotely unpleasant happens to Adam Neumann, I think it's a win for karma.
Okay. So mine comes from the pages of the visa regulations of the United States of America. And a thing that crossed my Twitter feed this morning, and I dug it out of the State Department's or the Department of Homeland Security's website. And in fact, it is true. So you need to you want to come into this country as what's called a you want to come into this country, period. You need a visa, right? If you're a foreigner. Lots of variations on that, but there are two general categories, non-immigrant and immigrant. Immigrant means you're going to stay here and live here and get a green card eventually. Non-immigrant means you're coming here to visit or to work or do special projects, study or whatever. The Department of Homeland Security, this was late September, but is just surfacing now. The Department of Homeland Security has proposed changing the period for which foreign journalists will be admitted. That is to say, if you're a correspondent for the Times of London or for People's Daily in China or from Pravda in Moscow or whatever, you need a visa from the United States. And usually you're admitted for a long period of time, as much as like 5 years. So you can come and do your work and learn your beat and report back and blah, blah, blah. And American journalists going to China or Russia or the UK get similar visas to stay for 5 years or longer, right, to do their work and report back to their respective countries. Well, the Trump administration is changing the period of admission. That is to say, the period for which these journalists may stay in the United States, the foreign journalists, from a number of years to 240 days, which is 7.5 months. And you can extend it for another 7.5 months. But what that means is that because visa relationships that we have with other countries are reciprocal, American journalists in Russia and Bogota, Colombia and South Africa or whatever are going to be limited to 7.5 months. So every 7.5 months, the poor schlub Washington Post correspondent in South Africa is going to have to schlep down to the foreign ministry and get his or her visa renewed for a maximum for a maximum of what will be 14 months, which is bananas.
Yeah.
It's just so crazy and crazy making. I just can't even understand it. It's as if the Trump administration is actively trying to wall us off from the rest of the world. Let me rephrase that. They are. And this is another manifestation, right? I mean, we've seen it in trade. We've seen it in multilateral military relationships. We've seen it in many, many ways. And this is a manifestation in the press. And I just think it's kind of stunning. Truly.
It is. It really is. And I don't think that it is the last of the kind of like shocking moves, especially in this direction. This one, I truly don't understand the context. I really don't.
They just wanted to? I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. Now, we should say here it's a proposed rule, so people have a chance to comment. And obviously, everybody should comment who has an opinion. But 90-something percent of the time, these rules go through. You know what's interesting? So I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she said to me, and look, she is not a fan of the president of the United States. And she said, what damage can he do between the election and Inauguration Day if he loses? And I said, Mom, he can do a lot of damage. And this is something he could easily do on the 15th of December if he wanted to, right? Put this rule into effect. So as we said when we started this daily podcast, it's stuff that maybe you're not paying attention to because of the fire hose of information. And this is certainly one that has not gotten a lot of attention, but I just want to make sure people know about it.
Yeah.
So.
Good one.
You know.
Yep. Yeah, I got distracted reading about it, and then I got all mad and decided it's better if I don't talk about it. Student visa. I mean, I would love if any of you out there work on immigration law. I mean, so far, the justification for all of this has been some kind of nationalist commentary that feels pretty racist often. And I just am sort of curious about, like, what is the goal here? What is the goal of preventing journalists, students, and researchers from either being able to travel to other countries or come here?
Right.
What are we trying to prevent? Because we know it's not good for, I mean, economically, the level of legal immigration that we're allowing is damaging.
Oh, it's infinitesimal.
As in the lack thereof. Yeah. It is damaging. We need more workers.
Yep.
Yeah. So tell us, if you know, make me smart at marketplace.org.
Let us know.
Yep.
And with that, Mr. Ramirez.
Make a smile.
So what are you doing for Halloween this year? Are you buying candy and putting it out? Are you not?
Yeah.
Are you? Okay. All right.
Me?
Okay. I don't know.
I definitely am. I think that, in fact, I have a Costco date, as I want to do.
Yes.
Set for Wednesday.
Yes.
And I'm going to buy a bunch of candy. And I think what our neighborhood seems to be honing in on is sort of like we're all going to really decorate a lot. And then we may put candy sort of out on the sidewalk, at the sidewalk level. Mm-hmm. And then maybe what people are going to do is just a little bit of a parade.
Yeah.
Situation.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, walk around, look at decorations, maybe grab handfuls of candy.
Yeah.
We'll just wave from the porch 20 feet away.
All right. Okay.
That's my thinking now.
Fair enough. Anyway, I ask because 538 has come out with its power ranking of Halloween candies. They did sort of a brackety setup with like 8,500 people participating. And they rank these, but they have to be, you know, the bite-sized ones, the snackable ones that you get at Halloween. And their results are in. And at the tippy top, with a win percentage of 84.2, and I heartily endorse this, is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Yep.
And I would put those way up there at the top, and I'm totally pleased with that. And from there, it goes to Reese's Miniatures, Twix, Kit Kat, Snickers, Reese's Pieces on down, Milky Way's in the number 7 slot. Dead last at 19, Skittles Original, which is good because they suck. Oh, Skittles suck. Cut it out.
Come on.
They suck.
They don't. No.
They do. Can I say that on this podcast?
They're pretty good.
No, they're not.
We've said other things.
Okay, well, yes, we have.
Oh, no, there's even more, though, if you scroll.
Yeah, if you scroll.
You can scroll and then it gets even worse.
Oh,
that's great. I'm actually delighted to see the one I was literally scrolling for was Almond Joy, which just I hate. And it's way, way, way down low. It's way down low. Generally, I'm pretty happy with this list. Frankly, I would have put Snickers a little bit higher. I do love the, because the fun size Snicker is the perfect one. Otherwise, well done, America.
Yeah.
Well done, America, at least on this one thing.
Yeah. So there you go. That's mine.
I also have a Halloween themed Make Me Smile, courtesy of my brother, who was perusing Reddit and found a video of a wife yelling at her husband for driving around town in a Michael Myers Halloween mask. And she's like, what are you doing? Why are you driving around? Where'd you even get this station wagon? And why does it say Stabbin' Wagon on it? And it's hilarious. And she's like, you're an idiot. But then we discovered that they have a YouTube channel. And this guy does this whole bit. The whole family does this whole bit, apparently, around Halloween time, where he's just going around to the Michael Myers. And if you are of the age to have seen the Halloween movies with Michael Myers, you know that this is both hilarious and slightly terrifying. And at 3:09 p.m., I implored Marissa Cabrera to pull some audio
so she did.
From the video where he's just creepily standing in a field in his Michael Myers mask, and she did, and here it is. And then she yells at him. She's like, you're such an idiot. Just get in the car.
She's
like, you're supposed to be at work, Evan. Oh, like, my God. It is
In defense
amazing.
Of dads who just want to have a little fun, which, you know, is not always me. We try hard. I'm just saying.
It's hysterical.
Okay.
I mean, I'm assuming the whole thing is a bit. I don't really know, but it is so funny.
Right.
The kid's like, I'm never going to have any friends.
Well, that's probably true.
You got to watch it. If you were a Halloween fan or terrified by it, we'll have those links in the show notes.
Don't ever get it on the show page. And with that, I believe we're going to get out of your hair. Back tomorrow with the Tuesday Deep Dive. We're gonna do a little money in politics, dark money, what it is, how much of it there is. We don't know because it's dark, but there's a lot. And what it means when there's that much money in this country's politics. Questions or comments about that or, frankly, anything else, including, by the way, your Halloween candy power rankings. Send us an email. Mm-hmm. makemesmart@marketplace.org, please.
I'm really sad that Butterfingers has fallen so far. It's because they changed the recipe. Keep the voice memos coming, if you would. We love to hear your voice on the show. Record yourself on your smartphone. Email us the little audio file. We have instructions for that in the show notes, too. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. I'm excited about this dark money conversation.
Oh, it's going to be good. Wait, how did you know they changed the recipe on Butterfingers?
You could just tell. It doesn't taste as good. It's not as savory anymore.
I don't need enough candy. Whatever.
Someone's going to confirm this. This is what I love about our audience. Yes, someone's typing that email right now. They're all, turns out. Whoops, I refresh. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera, who is awesome. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Erica Phillips writes our newsletter and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
Daniel Ramirez, as I believe we have said, engineered today. He also composed our little theme music that we're listening to with Ben Tolliday, who I saw today, by the way. which is cool.
You know, I saw them both in the flesh.
Yeah. Donna Tam is senior producing while Bridget's out having a baby. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves.
I also owe Donna an apology because I scared her.
With what?
With the Michael Myers videos.
Oh.
Sorry, Donna.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.